If you would, turn in your Bibles to chapter 4, Ephesians. Chapter 4, Ephesians. Believe it or not, God has given a plan to the church on how it should be organized, operated, and its goals. And believe it or not, very few churches follow God's plan. For they think they know better than God, is my guess. Jesus said this: a disciple is not above his teacher. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become as his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they have called me the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they call you the same as members of my household? Jesus said that our goal in what we do in life has one clear objective: that we become like him. You are not the disciple of a preacher. This is why, and I got to be honest with you, this is why I don't like the vast majority of prominent preachers today. Because if anything, prominent ministries do not lead to the glorification of Jesus Christ. For all you see is the man and not Jesus when you look at them. Jesus said your goal as his disciple is not to become like a preacher. But what do preachers do? They put their names on the front of Bibles. The such and such study Bible. How arrogant, in my personal opinion, that you would dare put your name that promotes you on a Bible. Do you have one of those Bibles here? I hope my people know better. Study Bibles per se can be a useful function. But here's how study Bibles started. No one up until the late 19th century would have dared put their name or their notes in the Bible. Some of you in my Bible study class know this story. Up until the late 19th century, they would never put on this page a line. Does your Bible have a line? There's a black thin line here. And then what happens is, and here's a study Bible. Pastor Dave, you're such a hypocrite. But please note, do you see anything on that Bible here? When I bought it, it had a preacher's name on it. I naively just never thought about it until I began to do study in ministry. That thin line separates God's word from the word of the preacher. These are called study notes. This comes from the mind of God. Up above that line is God's word from his mind. Below that comes the imagination of a preacher. This is what God's precious Spirit of truth, right here, above the line, has inspired. This is the authority of God's Word. You'll never see me, at least I try not to, ever preach anything but above this line. For if I give you Pastor Dave's opinion, I've gone to this line below. Let me explain this line below. This line is the line that separates the authoritative, inerrant word from the speculative imagination of some dumb preacher. He or she, ladies, don't get mad, he or she uses his imagination or her imagination to write notes explaining from his or her prejudicial opinion what you should think about the Word of God. The Bible never says to read the Word of God and then try to understand it through the speculative imagination of some dumb preacher. But here's what happens. How many kids, when they go out and minister to churches, a preacher will be preaching, and hopefully they preach. You know, a lot of preachers just hold the Bible, and then they give you, well, I'm doing that right now, if you really want to know the honest opinion, if you can want to get me on that. They'll sit there and they'll hold a Bible in their hand, and I've watched these dumb preachers, but they'll give you their opinion. It's worthless. My opinion is worthless. This is where they need to stick. But some will just hold their Bible in their hand and then give you some cockamamie sermon of nothingness that they've made up. And here's what happens with these line below this. Since the Scofield Reference Bible, anybody heard of that? In March, I went to a church to speak on a subject, and sure enough, there were people there with the, they were wonderful people, but they were there with the Scofield Reference Bible. Anybody have it? Throw it out. How do you like that? And what people have done to preachers over the years is, and I've had this happen, after the preacher is done, and hopefully that preacher stuck to the authority of God's Word here, but they'll say something that someone who isn't very discerning, they'll rush the pulpit, somebody that isn't very discerning, and they will say this, and I've had kids tell me this at seminary, and it's happened to me. Preacher, that's not what my Bible says, what you were preaching this morning. And it will throw people at first. And then some of these kids and me, I will ask, well, show me where your Bible says what it says. And what they will do is they will grab their Bible and open it up. And instead of pointing up above the line, many precious people point to the notes below the line and say, here is what my Bible says. Well, listen to me. Do you realize that you should be very careful of preachers? Why? Because this is what they call in the military and in the government a psychological operation, whether you realize it or not. By placing their notes on the same page, even with a thin black line, which no one sees, in your mind, without thinking, below the conscious level, you have begun to think, whether you consciously think it or not, that these notes below the line have equal force to above the line. And people, precious people, know what, you know, the Bible calls us sheep, yes or no? And they will think that this has authority to this. equal. Why? Because it's on the same page. That is a psychological operation. That is a deceit of Satan. Your authority for your life as a Christian is above the line. Here is below the line. This is the imagination of a preacher. Some of it can be helpful, but it's all speculative at best. And so these preachers, instead of pointing to Jesus Christ, and here above the line glorifies whom? Jesus Christ. Below the line glorifies who? The preacher. His education. Now, I'm not against education. I'm an educator. But when the preacher calls himself doctor, you remember when Dr. Crewe was here, he was a physician. I can see that. But when preachers call themselves doctors, they're not glorifying Jesus Christ. Jesus said it is enough that the disciple is like his or her master. Who's your master? Jesus. You're to be like him. But when the man, preacher, calls himself by titles, the focus, the spotlight, goes off of Jesus immediately. And it goes on the man. That's why many of these huge churches, Jesus is not glorified and honored, because the quickest temptation for a preacher when he builds a big church is to do like Nebuchadnezzar did. You know what Nebuchadnezzar did? He walked out on his hanging gardens, the most beautiful gardens in the whole world of the time, miles and miles of this beautiful architecture, hanging gardens. He said, look what I have done. That's why these preachers that build these seeker-sensitive huge churches, it isn't because the Holy Spirit produced that. Dollars to donuts. It's the flesh that produced that. And then the preacher thinks, now I understand why God called me into ministry. Look what I have done, just like Nebuchadnezzar. And do you know what the original sin in the world is? Do you know what it isn't murder. It isn't lying. It isn't stealing. Do you know what the original sin in the universe is? And it isn't sex. You got it. My grandmother used to think that sex was the original sin on my mom's side. I got news for you. That's not it. The original sin is when Satan said, I will exceed God. And I'm telling you, the goal of a preacher is not anything but this: to glorify and honor Jesus Christ. And when that preacher focuses any bit of attention onto his title, his study Bible, anything, here's what Paul said when we appear before the Lord. Paul said, there's going to be people who have built things in this life, and everything at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, will be exposed through fire. And that when you have people that stand before the Lord, there's going to be a judgment on a Christian of fire. And what they did for the glory of Jesus Christ, Paul said, will stand in that judgment. But what they did to honor themselves, to focus the attention on the preacher, is going to be consumed by fire. And you can bet, in my personal opinion, some of the most prominent preachers that you're used to and that come to your mind will have the most smoke-filled smell from what has been done. You see, the goal of God's people and those who are loyal to Jesus Christ in all of this is to glorify Jesus Christ and to make sure that we are glorifying Him. I should look at that in 1 Corinthians. Maybe we should look there for a second. Let me look here in my Bible. First Corinthians 3, I just think we should look at this because you hear me ragging on preachers. Can I tell you something? Why should I rag on you when preachers should be the one? Where does judgment begin? Tell me. With the household of God. Let's see what Paul said. Preachers that know the word of God should know better. According to the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 3:10, which was given me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, another is building upon it, but let each man be careful how he builds upon it. Preachers are called to be builders. For no man can lay a foundation other than one which is laid in Christ Jesus. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw. So, every one of you are doing things, every preacher is doing something with the goal of building up the body of Christ. But not everybody is doing good because Paul said some people are building with precious things, others are building wood, hay, stubble. In other words, things that will not last. Would you like a home in California that's made out of wood, hay, and stubble? Well, most of them are built that way, these cheating contractors at times. But look, each man, verse 13's work will become evident. For the day, that's the day when we appear before Christ, will show it. Because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. He's not talking about you being judged for your sins. He's talking about what's your motive in life when you do things for Jesus. Is your motive to build up a huge ministry for yourself or to give things to the church so that you're honored? Wood, hay, stubble. Look what Paul says. It will be the motive will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of every man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon remains, he receives a reward. Did you know God is going to reward you for things that you got no credit for? That you gave, you did. Many of you precious people do so much for our little church. If your goal is to glorify Jesus, you're going to receive God's reward for that. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer a loss. But he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Now let me tell you something. Why am I saying this? Because we're now learning something. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're learning that we are a spiritual temple being built up to glorify Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. Now that you've heard that, would you dare put your name on a Bible? Would you dare name a building after yourself? Would you, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, dare bring honor and glory to what you have done rather than the focus, the honor, the attention to Jesus Christ? This is what we're learning in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me ask you about today's church. I don't care what denominational background you're from. Do you think the professional clergy where you're from have put the attention on Jesus Christ or themselves? Do you think when a preacher calls himself doctor that Jesus Christ is glorified? Well, I guess you could spin it that since the guy's a doctor, that means he knows what he's doing. Listen to me. A preacher that calls himself doctor, most of them bought the degree or were given to them as an honorary degree. They didn't earn it. I knew of a preacher in San Diego, a very prominent preacher in El Cajon, who on his license plate, if I named the name, you'd know it, who on his license plate had Dr. J's Wagon. When I first got there to work, I thought, wow, he must have earned a doctorate. That's amazing. And then I found out his daddy gave him the doctorate because his daddy was president of a college and he had not earned it at all. But guess what the word doctor does? What'd you say, Cheryl? That's right. Do you think that honors Jesus Christ? Or do you look, wow, he's a doctor. You see, the goal of our church is not to build up the reputation of a preacher or to make our church known. The goal is to glorify Jesus Christ, be sold out to him. He is our master and we are his what? But churches aren't learning this. Everywhere I've been, it's either the denomination. Let's take the word Baptist. I'm going to insult some of you Baptists. If we call ourselves a Baptist church, what gets the focus in the name Baptist? I don't want to glorify baptism. That's just a means. That's a testimony. Even the names of churches have been corrupted by Lucifer. Boy, that'll get me in trouble with Baptists, won't it? I don't have any friends anymore anyway. You want to be a church that says this, our goal in life is to glorify Jesus Christ. That's what Paul has been talking about. Let's go into Ephesians chapter 4 because that needed to be said. Ephesians 4, he's given us pastors and teachers in 11 to equip the saints so that the saints work on building up the body of Christ. Well, what are we to build them up to? To be like a preacher? No. We're to build them up until two things result. Verse 13, the first thing that results, we all attain to the unity of the faith. How many denominations do we have in the world? Tell me, how many? Thousands. Now you know why we have thousands of denominations. Can you name some? Can you name some? Huh? What else? Methodists glorify the methods. Nazarene, well, at least the name is Jesus the Nazarene. Okay. Seventh-day Adventists. Name some others. Name some others. How in the wide world, did those occur? You now know the answer. They haven't followed what the Word of God says. It says if pastors and teachers equip the saints and we focus our attention on what the Bible says, and we glorify Jesus Christ and we make everybody into disciples of Jesus. Look what it says in verse 13. We all attain to the unity of the faith. Now you know the secret of why there's so much disunity. Do you know why? They aren't following what the Bible says. They aren't glorifying Jesus. They aren't organized to put the attention, the honor, the glory on Jesus Christ. Sorry, there was a movie called The Matrix. Do you remember that movie? You could take the blue pill and go to sleep and not realize that you're within an artificial environment and your thinking is being controlled, or you could take the red pill and wake up. The Bible is the red pill. Wake up. There are thousands of denominations because churches are not people of God's word. They're people either of a preacher or a denomination or anything but what? Being like Jesus Christ. And therefore, the consequence of that is there are thousands of denominations in the world. Why? Because they're not following what God said. Look what it says here in verse 13. Building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Why is there no unity? Because all you see is the preacher or the denomination. Because the preacher focuses the glory and the attention on himself or herself. If you want the don't want the ladies to get mad at me by being a male chauvinist on that. That's why the church is in trouble. If you do it right, you will be united in faith. But if you go next week to another, after you get mad at Pastor Dave and said, I'm going to go to another church, they'll hand you a doctrinal statement. And guess what? It'll be different than others. Why? No one's following the directions of what the Bible says. This is that simple. And if you follow the directions, there's going to be a unity of the faith and of the knowledge of what? The preacher, the study Bible. What does it say? There will be unity of faith and of what? The knowledge of what? I don't see that today. Do you? Contradict me if you want. I don't care. Who says that when I preach, you can't get up and say, listen, you bozo. Doesn't bother me. Do you see unity and knowledge of Jesus Christ? Most think he's some hippie. By the way, they have no picture, no description of Jesus. We know he had a beard. We don't even know the length of his hair. The guy you see in that picture was a model. And we don't know what he looks like. Can you imagine if we knew what Jesus looked like? What color was Jesus' hair? We don't know. What color were his eyes? We don't know. Can you imagine what would happen if we did know? Everybody with blue eyes, if Jesus had blue eyes, would think they're more like Jesus. Everybody, if Jesus, the Shroud of Turin, I think it's completely false. Don't let them fool you with that thing. They like to build up the Shroud of Turin, so when they rip the Shroud of Turin and find out it wasn't Jesus, you think you've lost your faith when you haven't lost anything. But the Shroud of Turin, Jesus has a big nose. If Jesus had a big nose, everybody that's got a big nose would think, wow, I'm like Jesus. Or a beard. God doesn't call you to be like Jesus on the outside. God wants you to be like Jesus on the inside. How he was. It says here that when we do this, what Paul has been explaining, what we've been going over, we will attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Not only that, but look what it says in verse 13. We will be mature. There's nothing worse than an adult who lacks maturity. Think of Kim Jong-un. You want to see someone, everybody in North Korea, those precious people, are starving, and then there's Fat Boy, who has all the food, everything, and those people are told to worship him as a god. And all of you laugh. You would never do that, would you? But don't we worship politicians? Oh yeah, we do. Don't you worship celebrities? Don't you worship political parties? Everybody thinks when their party's in town and in control, it's going to be wonderful, and they always end up shafting us. For all of you who trust in Republicans since 1973, Roe v. Wade, they were going to get rid of abortion. Well, guess what it showed you? What's been going on now that they've had a chance to change something? Did anything get changed by the Republicans? You can't trust in any of these parties. That includes the Democrats too. I'm not of it. But it says here that if we do this right, we won't be immature, but we will be mature. How do you know you're mature? In Christianity. How do you know you're mature in Christianity? What would you measure it against to know you're mature? How do we know a person's mature? Have you ever noticed when a baby is born, the head is huge and the body, the head is almost a third of the body. Look at you now. Your head is probably 1/6 or 1/7 of your body. But you consider yourself mature, don't you? Because you don't want to look like an infant. How do you know you're a mature Christian? How do you know that you've had some level of maturity as a Christian? What are you going to do? You're going to say, well, my study Bible notes say that I am? Or I'm really like that preacher? Or I go to that preacher's church? How do you know that you are a mature Christian? Here's the simple answer. It's very simple. You're like Jesus. Bottom line. The more you're like Him, you're like your master. It is enough that a disciple be like their master. The more you're not like Jesus Christ, the more you're immature as a Christian. So you've got to start focusing on being just like Jesus was. By the way, that's not an easy goal. I mean, as they nailed His nails into His hands, what did He say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You want to know if you're a mature Christian? You're like Jesus. That means when I drive, I'm not like Jesus. Confess your sins to one another. There are times in which I am not like Jesus and it bothers me. Because guess what? It ain't you that's going to get whooped up on. Preachers are warned before anybody else that if you are given much to whom you are given, much is required. Guess who's going to get it more than you? That's why I love these dumb preachers. They're always pointing the finger at you. The goal of maturity is to be like Jesus. Not like anybody else, but to be like Him. And only Him. And to deal with people as Jesus would deal with people. How are we doing? If we had an honest evaluation of our maturity and said, if the goal of our maturity is Jesus Christ and being like Him, how would we do? And the reason why the church is in the shape it's in, we dress up our clergy in gowns, hats, jewelry, we give them fancy titles, and we deflect everything we can away from being like Jesus Christ. Jesus only had one outfit to wear. These clergy have their own tailors. And the gold and the beads. And there is why the church is in the condition it's in. So what are you preaching, Pastor Dave? I'm saying this. If we do this in Ephesians 4:11 through 13, here is what happens. If we do it God's way, there's unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. There's a mature man that belongs to the measure of the stature of the fullness of, are you ready? Jesus. Don't ask what Pastor Dave would do. Please don't do what Pastor Dave does. Do what Jesus would do. And that's the mark of a mature church and a mature Christian. How would Jesus be?